Hey everyone, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. I'm pretty excited about today's guest. We've got Crystal on the channel. Crystal is a retro gamer and we're going to find out what else she's been up to, how she entered the whole scene. So, hey, welcome Crystal.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Good. Yeah, no, it's a pleasure. And I'm excited. I'm not going to make a big deal about the fact that you're a woman, but like I was just thinking before we got on the thing, like you're like a unicorn in the scene because I was
that's
like
not
I,
true.
I don't that's know any true, other though. Females in the scene. Who else is there?
There's a Retro Funtech and I don't know if a lot of people know that she's a female. She says it on her
Retro Funtech. Okay.
Profile. So she has her pronouns on her profile, but actually, yes. Like, I think she told me the other day, I don't know if a lot of people know that I'm, like, okay. A woman. Like, oh,
yeah.
Really?
I've seen that and channel, then, yes.
Oh, and then ETLand XOXO, who did uh-huh. a video with Russ recently and Team Pandori,
okay.
is
all right. So
also definitely female.
I'm completely ignorant. Okay, forgive me.
No. No, I think it's hard because we do have like a very huge percentage of male content creators in the space. Mm. I have a joke with one of my friends that like it's all like the retro gaming space is all just guys like bearded guys in their 40s. Yeah, middle-aged white men with beards. And I was like, well, I mean, Aiden doesn't have a beard.
Someone actually said I'm the only shaven guy in the scene. So
yeah, I'm also
a unicorn.
You're differentiating yourself.
Yes.
But one of my other friends said, he asked me, and I don't know if this is true because he's a little tricksy boy. So he might have just been trying to hype me up somehow. Uh-huh. But he said that he asked me what is the percentage of like male to female gamers you think there is? Like, do you think like there are a lot more male gamers in general, like compared to females? And I was like, yeah, I think there must be. And he's like, no, it's like 48% female. And
what?
I was shocked. Yeah, right. You're shocked too, right? And you know, yeah. Right? You know, I mean, he might have been lying to me to try to hype me up, but
maybe.
But
I don't know.
But when you think about it, because I thought about it and I was like, oh, I mean, I guess that makes sense because there's like the cozy gamers and like the you know, like the mobile game gamers, and they're all gamers.
Yes.
On the people
that's
who,
true.
Like me, just like to play like Dr. Mario and Tetris and Mario Picross and stuff like that. So there's a whole variety of gamers. And so I think it's really surprising, isn't it? Because when you look at content creators, there aren't very many females or like gender nonconforming people that are like out there. And I'd really like that to change. So please, if you're out there and want to make content, please, please, please do.
It is interesting. It's on my mind from time to time because there was once, I think when I was really heavily like commenting on the retro handouts, I don't get as much time to do that anymore. But like, you know, checking the forum, talking to guys, finding out new things. And once there was someone who said, I'm transitioning, and they were talking to people about the fact that they're transgender. And I was like, wow, a transgender nice. Person in the retro gaming scene. Like, that is such a unique thing. Anyway, so and I think you bring up a good point because this is something that I think about a lot, and I'm sure you do as well, is because you mentioned, how do you define gaming? Because I think the problem is, there's this like strong narrative of like, even Russ on one of his videos, because one of the gaming devices came out and it was like, real gamers or true gamers or something. ROG, I think it was ROG. On the back it says true gamers or something.
Oh, no.
And he's like, what are untrue gamers? What are unreal gamers? I don't know. And there is that kind of thing, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
You know, if you're not sitting through the nights and playing, you know, Skyrim or something, then you're not a real gamer.
It's funny because I didn't consider myself a gamer at all for most of my life. Like, I played, you know, like the Game Boy. I had a Game Boy when I was really young, and then I got a Game Boy Color eventually, and then like, and I've had all of like I'm a mobile, like I'm a handheld gamer, so that's why I really love retro handhelds. But so I had all of the handheld things except for like you know, the really old stuff like Wonder Swan and GameCube.
Yes, okay.
Stuff.
Yeah, well, that's before my time as well. So
yeah. So, but yeah. But I didn't consider myself a gamer because I wasn't playing any of those like really intense games. Like, I've never played a Final Fantasy or a Zelda.
Me either.
Confession.
Yes, because the retro handles podcast today, I was listening through, and they said to Zoo, okay, what's your favorite Final Fantasy character? And I was like, I'm so glad they didn't ask me that question because I don't
know any because I've never
played the game.
I would just say Ares, because I feel like that's something I've heard about, like that character.
Ares. Okay,
but,
cool. Yeah.
But otherwise, I have no context. Or maybe, you know, the dude, Sephiroth, because he looks cool. And I think he was voiced by someone I like.
Oh, like, I see. Okay, cool.
Yeah, but I don't really know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I put it up on my Steam Deck. Like, because my sort of journey into gaming, and we can talk about your journey, is like, like I've got my OG Game Boy there. I could never afford this stuff growing up. And I got one for the first time 3 months ago. So I actually
owned I saw the
Game
video.
Boy. Yes.
That was such
and
a
it was such
delightful
a big deal
video.
For me. Yes. Yeah, so this channel is more like unfulfilled childhood dreams coming true, you know, and I definitely am also a handheld gaming person, but I'm also starting to discover like games in general, because I went to university and just like left all that, and I never got into gaming, and I don't know, just pushed it to the side.
That's how it's been for me too.
Okay, cool. All right.
Yeah, because I started out like really enjoying games, but it's more, you know, like when, like in the Game Boy era of games, it's like everyone really loved the Game Boy, right? Like everyone wanted a Game Boy, and everyone had a Game Boy, and everyone was playing like Tetris or like Super Mario, or, you know, like, just like those like core games, but you didn't really consider yourself a gamer because it was just like something everyone did, right?
Yes.
Whereas as I got older, the kind of like gamer title was very, it kind of narrowed its focus, I think, a little bit more.
Okay.
So I always thought you had to play like first-person shooters or something like that.
Exactly.
And I can't, I mean, I have like a problem where if I play a 3D game and I play it in first person, I'll get so nauseous. I'll just like, I'll like get half an hour or an hour in and I'll just be like, I need to lie down. And so I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
My friend.
You're not the first person to say that to me. Yeah.
One of my friends bought me Half-Life, and he's like a teenager. Like he's someone I met on the Tech Dweeb Discord. And he bought me Half-Life because he wanted me to play it. And so of course I had to play it, because this 13-year-old spent his hard-earned money to buy me a game. Sure. And I was really, really, really touched. So I had to play it. And so I played it for an hour on stream. Cool. And it was terrible. It was ridiculous.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Half-Life is almost a cultural phenomenon, I suppose, depending on what your age is. But my friend had it on PC, and it was so cutting edge. And it just blew our minds that we could play this on our computers. It was crazy.
Yeah, it looks really, I mean, I feel like it's aged really well, because when I played it, I was like, wow, this intro is just amazing.
Yes. Yeah, and it was really like, ahead of its time.
Yeah, I was really impressed. I couldn't actually play it. I think I got as far as like right after the tutorial, but I was having so much trouble. Yeah, I was having so much trouble with like the tutorial where you have to like jump and then go through a tunnel right away. I was like, yeah, I can't do this. And I spent like 15, 20 minutes trying to do it. And people were just laughing at me on stream. Mm.
Yeah, I think that is where gaming lost me. So like Half-Life was fantastic, but the controls were so complicated. And that's, you know, that's when the PlayStation started to become big and all that sort of thing. And I just remember thinking to myself, I cannot play a game that requires more than 8 buttons. Like, I know.
I know. It's so complicated. Yeah. So that's why I love retro games. And I think that's why I didn't consider myself a gamer, because all the games that I had really enjoyed growing up were a lot simpler or like just different. Like, I also really loved Monster Rancher 2.
Somebody mentioned this week. Maybe Monster I saw Rancher. You it's do like a post on it, but anyway.
Oh, maybe. I don't think I have, but
Monster
but I
Rancher.
Should. But I should. It's a it's like a creature. It's like a Pokemon, but
okay,
not really. Yeah, I see it, kind of like it's you get a monster and then you raise it and you kind of put it into like arena battles. So it's kind of like that Pokemon vibe, but. But it's kind of like a strategy game where you decide every week what you have to do with the monster, like whether you want to train at speed or whether you want to train, like whether you want to just have fun and like play with it, or whether you want to go exploring and find treasure and stuff like that. And yeah. And it was really
it's
fun.
It's like the Pokemon game that didn't make it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the cool thing is it was for PS1. And the cool thing was that in order to get the monster, you had to like get a CD, like a real CD, and stick it into your PS1, and then it would read the CD, and then it would give you like it would spit out a monster. So like people would have lists of CDs that they could use to get a specific monster, and they would share them. I think.
That's so cool,
right? Mm. But you can't do that with emulation. So you can't emulate that game because you can't put a CD in an emulator.
Yeah. You mean you can switch CDs, but you can't insert a random CD. Yeah. So that is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't have any CDs anymore.
Should talk to some devs. See.
Yeah. Okay. They did release like a modern Steam port for it, but I haven't tried it out yet. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you tried?
I was worried.
Oh, I see. No, I thought you were worried about preserved.
Yeah, I have an obsessive personality.
I think we all do. I think everybody in this scene, like everyone I've spoken to, pretty much every person on this channel, they're like, you know, if I get into a thing, I get into a thing. It's just all of us.
Have you played Balatro yet? Because because no. I would suggest not doing it. if you value your time, please don't. But I really love that game right now. And I know a lot of people who love that game. I think Russ posted a video on it, or he's working on a video on it. Yeah.
Well, Stubbs mentioned it, and now you're mentioning it. So I feel like, and then I saw an advert for it or something on Steam, and I was like, just leave me alone.
TechDweeb plays. Yeah, I know. TechDweeb plays it too. My partner plays it, and he didn't want to play it.
All right.
But I.
And? Did he get into it?
I told him, you know, you're going to really love this game, so you should try it. And he did. And he was like, it's your fault that I can't do anything else now.
My life is over.
Yeah, he's put more hours into it than I have. And I started like weeks ahead of him. So
I saw it on Steam today and it didn't appeal to me. So maybe I should just leave it at that.
Yeah, maybe. I think
before
I think so.
It takes over my life.
Yeah, because I wasn't impressed with it when I played the first run. And then I played like more runs and just kept playing it. And yeah. That's the it gets you. It sneaks up on you.
I think it's the sort of thing my wife will enjoy. My wife has got this like aversion against gaming, the irony that I have a gaming channel. But like
my partner is the one who I considered a gamer because he plays Overwatch 2 and like
I say he's like Madden. A real gamer.
Yeah. He's like a real gamer, yeah. But he actually only plays like 5 games. Like he'll just play like the games that he has. And I think it's because when he grew up, he was actually a gamer. So he's used to having just one game that you play forever.
Yes.
Because you can't afford anything else, right?
But
whereas I was never really that much of a gamer growing up because it wasn't on my radar. Blah. It wasn't on my radar.
Yes.
And so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now I'm like making up for lost time, and it's a lot. It's a lot. I'm just like, ooh, all these games can be mine whenever I want them to be.
So we're kindred spirits in that regard. And I think we're good people to be doing this because we're discovering everything for the first time. And so we've got this like fresh, almost childlike experience of it all. And I think that's a good thing for a lot of viewers.
Definitely childlike.
Yeah, I think we all have a certain level of, we haven't grown up in certain parts of our personality.
I think so. And I think that's why it's so much fun to like be in the community.
Yes.
Because, well, I mean, I grew up in like various fandoms. So I've always found a community really important. Like it's always been a requisite of like my enjoyment of a thing to have other people to enjoy it with.
Yes.
And so this is really nice. Like I'm really glad that
it is.
We can share all of this together because I didn't really expect it. But the reason I started Twitch streaming, which was how, well, I guess not. Yeah, the reason I started Twitch streaming was because I was like, I have no gaming friends because I didn't grow up gaming. And
yes.
Yeah, and I wanted to find people to play games with.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of ballooned.
Yeah, where it's become a channel. And so I didn't do that growing up. So like, I just I always felt like a misfit in many areas of my life. And then I started to discover like the concept of being online and finding people, there's like hundreds of thousands of people that think the same way that I do. So I'm not alone. And that's okay. And then, you know, and now finding this and just finding it okay to be the person that I am, you know? And I think that's why a lot of people like this so much because I don't know if you found this, but retro gamers are a far gentler species. Like if you've watched my channel, all the guests, I mean, you know, like if like Shem, you know, we've all got our like prickly sides to us, like Stubbs, Russ, everyone. Well, actually Russ, I haven't seen any prickly sides to him. But
I don't know if he has a prickly side.
Well, he does. He can construct a very well worded, like rebuttal to something that's incorrect. I think that's something that really gets up. Like,
oh, that's right. I've seen him, you know, do that, I think.
Yes, he gets very worked up when people are inaccurate.
He's very eloquent. Yeah.
Yes, very eloquent. Anyway, but what I'm trying to say is I think we're all like gentler kind of people, you know? So I think it's a nice little community
for us
all.
I feel very safe in the retro gaming space in a way that I don't think I would feel necessarily in other gaming spaces. Like I think if I jumped on like an Overwatch 2 server, I would just get like, I would just be so scared to do anything because I'm so bad at gaming that I feel like people would really hate me maybe.
I had the same fears. I had the same fears of starting this channel because, I mean, people do sometimes rip you apart for not playing a game correctly or whatever, but I'm not a good gamer. Like, you know, that's not why I'm here.
Neither.
I'm here because I just love the whole experience, you know?
You know what I really like about Russ's videos is that he will admit that he's not good at games, like certain games. He'll be like, I really suck at this, but it's not the D-pad's fault. It's my fault. And I'm like, yes, I can totally relate to that.
Yeah, that is a cool thing. And
it's always my fault and not the D-pad's fault.
Yes. Yeah, because in the beginning, I think I was trying to pretend that I was good at these things. And I'm just like, it is what it is, you know? Like, I can do three Street Fighter moves. That's it.
I can do no Street Fighter moves. So you're ahead of me. But I think that's nice. I think it's good that we have such a variety of people in the retro gaming space. We can all connect to each other and we all feel like we're kindred spirits, but we all have a lot to teach each other. Like, it's like together we make like a whole.
We're all broken people, like but together world. We're one functioning human.
Who can D-pad?
Oh dear, I just Googled your channel. Well, I looked up your channel on YouTube, but Crystal Gaming is a little girl that does Animal Crossing. Anyway.
Oh, it's Crystal underscore is underscore cozy.
Okay. There we go.
I know. I just recently started a website.
So I wanted to talk about your channel a bit. All right.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah. So let's segue into that now. Well, what I want to talk about is like how you got to this point, because we all have a little bit of a journey. And what brought you to the point of starting the channel? And then I have a few other follow-up questions.
I started the channel because Tech Dweeb said I should do reviews. Oh, no. I started the channel because I started a Twitch stream because I wanted to find friends. And then I was like, oh, I should share like these funny little clips that I have of myself playing Terraria, which is one of my favorite games, like my top three.
Oh, and, really? Because I have it on my wish list. Okay, cool.
What? Oh my goodness. Let's be Steam friends. Let's be Steam friends.
Cool. It sounds like we do have similar interests. So cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was doing that and then and I had posted on the Tech Dweeb like self promo channel because he has one of those, and I said, hey, if anyone wants to come and join me for Twitch, it would be really fun to like hang out and talk, because it's kind of boring to game by yourself. I mean, it's a little bit lonely to game by yourself, and my partner doesn't like the same games I do, so he never plays with me. It's very sad.
I have some interest too.
That's how it started.
And then
I wanted to talk about the Steam Deck, because I was really excited about it.
Oh, okay. So one of the first things you spoke about was a Steam Deck.
Yeah. Hmm. It was like, I think I did like a really like, really bad, I mean, no edits. Like I just filmed it off the cuff, like my Steam Deck bag, like a tour of that. It's very bad. Please don't watch it. But,
well, now everyone's going to watch it. So you've gone and done it.
So bad.
Okay.
I think I made so many mistakes. And then Tech Dweeb, who has been on my Twitch stream sometimes, like he's so nice. He's like, he tries so hard to support the community and like, especially the people around him who are like trying to create content. He will go and like encourage you. He's jumped on my Twitch stream a couple of times while I was playing Stardew Valley to be like, hey, what tips do you have for Stardew Valley?
And, it's Tech Dweeb.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh my God, a celebrity. And I think he was like, hey, when is Crystal is Cozy and Stuff gonna start reviewing like tech? Mm. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I would watch
me?
You. I would watch you review like a retro handheld. And I was like, oh, really?
Yeah.
And I found that so flattering because he's kind of like my hero. I think he's kind of amazing. And so I was if Tech Dweeb thinks that I can do it, maybe I should try. And it was actually really fun.
Cool. Okay. So it's coming naturally to you.
Yeah, it's really, it's, I used to write, or I guess I still write a little bit, but I used to, mm-hmm. I used to publish, like romance novels, and I, yeah. and I've stopped for a while during the pandemic. I got really, really depressed and all over the place and just kind of dropped it and couldn't pick it back up. Okay. And so editing videos and making videos has really become like an outlet for me for creativity, because, you know, like when you're creative and you don't create things, you get really jittery and like, fidgety, and it just feels wrong. Right.
Yeah.
So this has really helped me out, and it's good for my mental health.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. I think mentioning Tech Dweeb, he is pretty inspirational, and the way I found you was through Tech Dweeb, and it's a funny story. Well, not that funny, but you put a little smiley face when I mentioned it in the questions. Is the fact that he was like, "Oh, and this this person, Crystal, she gave me the pattern for this knitted whatever it was," and then you mentioned in the comments, "Oh, it's a this whatever." So in the back of my head, like I got off the call, and I said to my wife, "Oh, because she's busy like getting really into crocheting." And I said, "Oh, you need to look up this girl, Crystal. She's got a knitting channel."
Oh no!
Then I was looking for Crystal Knitting, and I never found it. But anyway, and then I kind of forgot about it, and then
that's
I found
so
you
funny.
Again with a review, and I was like, "Oh, hang on, so she's quit the knitting channel." I still like was doubling down on this knitting channel. I don't know why.
Oh anyway, my goodness! Yeah. I don't think I'm a good enough knitter to have a knitting channel, but I am pretty obsessed with it. Pretty obsessed. Oh, I think I have one of them. One of the little, it's called a kindness monster.
There we go.
It's called a kindness monster.
Yes.
This one doesn't have arms or legs, so it's a little kindness nugget. But, and it's covered in cat hair, sorry. But,
it's all good.
Yeah.
Mine would be covered in dog hair.
It's so cute. So I actually didn't make the pattern. It's a pattern by someone else, and it's a free pattern. And it's supposed to be for like distributing like kindness throughout the world. So the kindness monster has its heart on the outside of it. So you can kind of, when you like look at it, you can remember that everyone has a heart, and it can be very fragile if it's on the outside. And so like you should be kind to everyone, and also be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
And yeah, cool. I was talking about that on a Twitch stream, and TechTube was like, "That's really cool."
Yeah.
So I sent him a link.
Yes.
And I was surprised that he actually had one made.
No, he follows
through. His mom made him one.
Can you see my doggy? Come, puppy.
Oh, hi doggy.
I say puppy, but she's massive. She's a Belgian Shepherd, German Shepherd
can be
cross.
Massive.
Come, puppy.
Oh, that's so great. That must be, I mean, she must be really great to hug. I think the bigger they are, the easier it is.
There she is.
Oh.
Yeah, she gives the best hugs.
Hello, baby.
She's not the best on the bed, though, because she takes up the whole thing. But she grew up, we adopted her, she was like 3.5. Yes, but she grew up with the Jack Russells, so she thinks she's small.
Oh, no.
So she tries to get into small spaces and all that, yeah.
Oh, my God. Do you have like, pictures of them cuddling? I feel like you should post that on social media for me, at least.
I'll post it on my Discord. I've got like a pet corner on my Discord, and I regularly post photos of my dogs, yeah. And then you can post photos of your cats.
You know, I didn't even know you had a Discord.
Ah, yes.
But I just joined this morning.
Yes, I just invited you, yes.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm really bad with
it. Thank you for the invite. Me too.
It jumped from 40 to 100, but so it is growing. I need to start engaging with people there. Sorry, what were you saying?
Yes. No, I said I feel really awkward sometimes inviting people to Discord or like talking about it, because I always feel like would people really want to talk to me? And if they want to talk to me, they can always talk to me on all the other places I'm on.
Yeah.
So I always feel like kind of weird about it, but
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
You must play it by ear. Do you have a Discord?
Yeah.
Oh, you do? Okay. Okay, cool. Well, you must invite me.
Oh, I don't know if you want to be on there. It's very small. It's very small and very, it's probably a bit boring, but I'll be happy to have you on there.
I'd be happy to be on.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
So to go back to the channel, because I think like you got a lot of inspiration from TechDweeb. So when I first saw your channel, yeah. I was like, she's taken a lot of tips from TechDweeb. I don't know if has he been advising you or has he given you some tips on how to build the channel?
He does advise me on a bunch of stuff. I don't know if he's advised me on like how to build the channel. But I sent him a script once, and because I was really insecure about it.
Yes.
And he was
like,
but he's
cool that way. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, oh, this is actually pretty good, but you can change like this thing and then it'll be better. And
yes.
And I try not to do that anymore because I think he has very little time and
yes. And he'll feel like he will do it even if he's busy.
Yes, he
and,
will do know, it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but now, but I think like just that first kind of like review of my script kind of gave me confidence that I was doing things mostly okay, I guess. Mm. I don't know how to explain it.
Yes.
But he's always been super supportive, and he's supportive with like other content creators too. Like we have Discord server. Mm. We have a bunch of like smaller content creators, and he really creates like a space for us to grow and kind of,
that's cool.
Yeah, interact with each other. And so like a bunch of us, because TechDweeb is so busy, but a bunch of us talk a lot about content creation and about like our struggles with that.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's really nice.
Yeah. I love those chats. That's one of the reasons I started the podcast actually. Because I selfishly just wanted to find out how everyone was growing their channels.
And it's so, your podcast is so good. Like, I'm not just saying that because I'm here right now.
It's so good because I'm here.
Because I'm here. But yeah, it's really good.
Thank you.
It's so good to listen to. I feel like it's because you have a great voice. And so like maybe anything you say sounds good to listen to. And I feel like that about TechDweeb too. I think his voice is perfect.
Yes.
It's so good. Yeah.
It's interesting. Like I was very honest with him in the first episode. Well, he hasn't been on a second time, but he will be. Like the first episode he was on, and I was like, listen, the first time I saw your channel, I thought to myself, who is this idiot? Like, what is he doing? And then then you watch another one, you're like, okay, he's doing this on purpose. And then the third one, you're like, Andy knows what he's talking about. And before you know it, you're like 10 videos in and you realize this guy's a genius. So yeah, very good.
I think he was the person who really got me back into retro gaming.
Hmm.
Because I had bought like a BitBoy, like the little one, the Game Boy one in like 2019, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like immediately lost it because it's tiny, and I put it in a bag and it just disappeared on me. And so I bought another one for actually my partner, but then he never played with it. So it kind of just got lost as well. And then during the pandemic, I was like, I would really like to play some Tetris and Dr. Mario. And so I found it, and then I was looking at videos because I always research everything. We all do this where we want to use a thing, or we're using a thing already, but like we want to maybe like have confirmation that the thing we're using is like the thing that we should be using. So we watched like 1,000 videos. And so that's what I did. And there were hardly any videos on the Pocket Go. There was, the Pocket Go. I think I have it somewhere.
Okay, so you've been on the scene for a while. Because that's...
Sort of. Not really, because I didn't... I was never interacted with anyone. It was just like a consumer experience where I bought something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that this one, cute. Look at it. I still have it. It's still really great as a travel device.
Nice.
Not for my kid, because you have to, it's like that. It does the same thing the V90 does, where you have to manually turn it off before you switch the power
like Windows, like power off the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Not super user friendly.
So, yeah. No, but it's really cute. I really want it like to be updated, or maybe the, maybe something else. I'm hoping
the Miu 830.
Yeah. The 830.
And I saw some information today that they sent one to the Onion OS devs, which is a very good sign.
Yes.
Yeah. And the devs, he was saying, he said it's going to be a bit of work to get the OS over, but it's looking good, which to me.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Anyone looking at the, I put this aside, anyone looking to get this, the R35XXH.
They should just wait.
Just wait, because it's going to be so much better.
I have that exact one, but it's like, it's in a case.
Oh, cool, cool. Yeah. It's lovely. Yeah. Excellent hardware.
Yeah. I love how it looks. Like I love the transparent shell.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's a good aesthetic.
Yeah. So, okay. One last thing. The thing that made me think there's a very strong Tech Dweeb connection is the aesthetic of your channel. And like going back to your channel now, I might just put a screenshot. Like I honestly thought your channel was way bigger than it is. You're at like 380 subscribers now. And like, honestly, I look at that and I think, oh, shame. It's such a hard slog to get to that first 1,000. So just all the best with that.
Thank you. It's tiring.
Like, I know it's hard.
I mean, eventually. I would like to hit 1,000 by the end of the year. So I still have many months left.
The community can give you a bit of a boost. And like, I think you've got all the right elements in place. Like if you've watched my other episodes, I love analyzing what everyone's doing. Like, especially, I know when I interviewed Joey, I like got really in the weeds. I was analyzing how he's doing his channel. And like, I just feel like you've got all the right bits and pieces in place, more than I did when I started. I mean, you've got such a strong aesthetic and, I think you're going to grow quite quickly. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that first 1,000 is going to be easy for you, because
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's hard to say, because I didn't really start tracking my subscribers for until maybe the last month and a half ish. So, or 2 months, whenever I posted my Miu Mini video, Miu Mini Plus video, was when I actually kind of started making content. The other videos are just this is something Crystal did, watch. And it wasn't
So you didn't, I mean, you've only got, if we look at it, like actual videos that are trying to get views for the niche, 8 videos maybe? The first few
four.
Oh, would you
four
say four?
Or five,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
4 or 5. Well, so
you're doing really well.
Yeah.
Like it's actually quite impressive.
Do you really think so?
Yes.
I've been feeling a bit down, because I've been thinking to myself, oh no, maybe I'm not good at this, because like my growth is so slow. But
self-doubt.
But I guess I don't really know. Yeah, I think that's a creator thing, right? Is there's always like this imposter
100%.
Syndrome.
Yeah. It says, I can only see a few, but it says you've got 30 videos.
They're all like shorts of like things I did in Terraria. So like one video is like, I got killed quickly. And it's, one is like a Twitch, hello.
Yes, yeah. I see that. Okay, cool. Yeah. I think you're doing a great job, and
I think you're
going to grow quite quickly. And I don't think you'll, especially now that you're like focusing and you've got like your little whole shtick going. I think it's going to go. you're going to be at 1,000 before the end of the year. That's for sure.
Oh,
that's my assessment.
I hope so.
That's my prediction.
Fingers crossed.
Well done. Anyway, okay. All right, so we were actually getting onto that topic. What are your favorite devices right now?
Do you
have lots of devices yet, or you kind of just have a few?
I had a feeling that you would ask this, so I counted last night, and I have... I don't recommend doing this, friends. Please do not count.
Because then you're
just
like,
don't do it.
Spend way too much.
Don't do it.
And then times that number by the dollar value, and then
no,
you're just
don't
in
do
trouble.
That. Don't do that. Yeah, I'm not gonna show my partner or my parents this video for sure. but yeah, no, I have like, if you count all the duplicates, I have 14. Like, okay. Like I have 2 Miu Mini Pluses, and like, okay. I have a Steam Deck LCD, and then like an OLED, and then, you know how that goes. You're
no,
like,
I
no, I don't know how that goes, Crystal. I'm sorry. I forgot. I know it's hard being in South Africa.
It was such a mission to get my Steam Deck. Oh my
congratulations on your Steam Deck. I was so excited for you.
Thanks.
And I'm so excited about the videos that you're doing with the Steam Deck. I can't wait for more. Like that,
yeah,
the RGB one was so nice.
Bumped, but,
I was
did you like
so
it?
Jealous.
Thank
yes.
you. Because it didn't do very
yes.
well.
Oh, really? Maybe it just needs time to get some traction.
Yes.
But maybe, or maybe it's a very like... It is a very like niche thing, because I feel like a lot of people would be scared to try doing that.
Yeah.
They're not as brave as you are.
Yeah.
I'm not as brave as you are.
Well, the back cover is easy. The front cover is what you need to avoid. Yeah. I really think unless you've got electronics experience, don't do it.
No, I don't. I have no electronics experience.
No, the back cover is easy. It really is. Just clip off, clip on, you're done. Yeah.
But I am going to, I think it was like your video and also the, was it the Taki Udon video with the GBC, like the FPGBA?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can highly, this is one of those devices that.
It looks so good.
Yeah, you know, let's put it here. When you get into it, you.
Yeah.
Like, I lost a week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because, I know. It looks so good.
So nice.
I wonder if it comes in pink. I would really love it if I had in pink.
You would have to mod one of the other shells. So there's limited shells for the kit. But then I saw someone, so you'd have to do a little bit of research or buy the kit shell and then buy one of the other shells so that you could see how you need to mod the shell. But it can be done.
Oh goodness.
It definitely can be done. Yes.
I don't think I would be able to do that, but I am planning on modding a Game Boy Color, like with the AMOLED display mod. So I'm really excited about it.
That's nice.
Yeah. And it'll be my first time modding a thing with like
modding
soldering. So yeah. So I'm going
to need to do some soldering in that. Eesh.
Yeah. That's, I think you need to solder some things for the.
Yeah.
I know. I'm ordering like a little like DIY soldering project, like a small one first. And it's like,
it's so
cool. It's like an LED, like little retro gaming device that plays like five little retro games.
Yes.
And it's so cute. I think it's like $20 on Amazon, but probably get it from AliExpress or wherever else.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just one of those, you know, like learn to solder kits.
Cool. Okay. Nice. I've been soldering for a while with FPV drones. Yeah. So I've got a little bit of experience.
Well, then you should be able to do that.
No, I'm definitely going to get into it.
Yeah, definitely try it. Please make a video before I start. and then I'll be set.
Yes. I'll send you like a clip from a video where the guy teaches you how to solder. He's like a pro. And he teaches you. There's a few little tips that will make you a master really quickly. Have the right soldering iron, number one. And then he's got these little tips and like literally it's one of the, like I love to be like, oh, well I've got this and I got, I'm just going to do it. As soon as I followed his tips, I was much better at soldering.
I'm also like that. I'm also like, maybe I should just figure out how to do this and not look at instructions. Yeah, but I shouldn't. I need instructions.
Yeah. I don't know if you've been diagnosed with ADHD, but I think it's an ADHD thing because we tend to learn by doing. And my whole life I've learned by doing. It's the way I need to physically experience the thing to learn. And so I come across a little bit arrogant sometimes because I'm like, no, let me do it. But it's the only way that I can get that information into my head.
Right. Yeah. Me too, I think. Mm. Well, it depends on what it is. Like for some things, I can only learn by reading. But for some things, I have to do it. So it all depends, I guess. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I have ADHD because I've never been diagnosed. Because I think it's really hard here, especially, to get diagnosed with ADHD because of, like, insurance, like health insurance stuff, like health insurance drama. Yeah, it's like a whole, like, yeah, it's a whole thing. So it's... So if you're suspected of having ADHD, and you tell your doctor will just be like, oh, maybe you have depression or anxiety, and you can have those things and ADHD as well.
Comorbid,
but they are. But so I think I've just kind of given up getting a diagnosis, and I just have just been like, well, if I have it, then I'll just deal with it. And I'm just going to assume that I kind of do and like just deal with all the things that come with it. So it's helped. So my friends who have diagnosed ADHD have sent me some like tips and stuff like that. And mostly I just try to manage myself fairly aggressively.
Yes. Yeah. Because you mentioned that like the pandemic kind of pushed you into a bit of depression, and that's...
Yeah.
That when you said that, I was like, interesting. Because, not being active, not getting stimulated, all those things, not being able to get out and do stuff, that's kind of all part of it. And actually, like my therapist said, she believes that if everyone was like outdoors and working in farms, there would be no such thing as ADHD because sunlight and physical activity kind of cures the whole thing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, maybe that's why, because I almost never go out in the sun. I like taking walks. I like taking walks, but only in the shade.
That's good enough.
I don't like outside, to sweat, and it's so hot. It's so hot in Hawaii. I wish we had true seasonal changes like fall and winter, but we just have like hotter and rainy.
Oh, so it's like truly tropical.
Those are our three seasons. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. We haven't even mentioned that you're from that part of the world. What are your favorite devices right now?
Oh yeah. I'm so sorry. We keep on getting sidetracked. The Steam Deck.
Yes.
I love this. Yeah, the Steam Deck. And of course, my RGB30. My RGB30 is broken right now.
Hey, man.
It's not broken. Yeah. I was like, it's probably a good idea to update the OS. And so I did an OTA update and it broke it. But I've heard that Rocknix is not where it's supposed to be yet. So I wonder if I should or if I should just go back to ArcOS. But...
It's so funny that we're all like shilling this. We're all like, this is our favorite device.
It's so good.
But it's one of the worst in terms of fun. Like it breaks. It like the buttons suck. Like there's so many terrible things about it, but this is the one. I've got a whole lot of devices on my left-hand side. Yeah. But this is the one that was in my pocket. I was playing this.
You know what? It's
just now.
It's that square screen. It's just so beautiful.
So good.
I just can't. Yeah, I just am in love with it. And I think it helps that I really love Pico 8 and Game Boy games. And so
I love
it's the perfect,
Tetris.
It's the perfect device for me.
Cat Trap.
Yeah. Because those are the kind of games where you can play like a little bit of it and you don't have to. I really like those games where there's no story or there's very minimal story. That's why I'm so into like Dead Cells and Hades. They all have stories, but it's really about the gameplay, right?
Yeah.
And those kinds of games are so easy to pick up and play because you don't have to remember what's going on. For me, I can never remember what's going on because I'll pick up a game and play it and then get distracted and play another game and then play another game after that. And then by the time I get back to the game I was playing, I'm like, what was I doing in this game? Like, where was I in this story?
Yeah.
But with Tetris, that doesn't happen. You know exactly where you are in the story.
It's also nice to play while like a series is on in the background.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and I also love the Miu Mini Plus. I think it's still my favorite, like, small device. It's so cute.
I made a video saying it's the GOAT. Like, I'm a huge fan. I think it's one of the best devices.
I felt so validated.
Yeah, but you'll see this as your channel grows. Like, about 50% of your viewers are people who bought it, and who just want to see someone say, yep, it's good.
Oh, do you see that I just sank down?
It's you just
because
descended.
My office chair is broken. And so every once in a while, it'll decide that I'm too high and that I need to be put down. And
I've actually put a broken chair here because I need to be low. So I'll just sit on the broken chair.
Nice.
Okay. And an Android device? Are you into Android? Oh, Odin 2. Yeah. You got an Odin 2.
Oh, I have an Odin 2.
I'm very upset about this.
My sister is... I know. A lot of people are. Don't worry. You're not alone. My sister is the best sister in the world because I'm doing her taxes for her. For her business.
Okay.
So I have to do like 12 months worth of bookkeeping and her taxes. Okay. And she was like, what can I do to pay you? And I said, well, there's funny thing. There's this thing I really want, but it's really expensive. And she's like, what is it? And then I showed her a link of it and she laughed. I think she was like, she was like, I can't believe you're 36 years old and still like, you know, like, yeah. So she just laughed and she's like, okay, I'll buy this for you. And so I have one.
Oh, man. Have you already modded it? What thumbsticks are those?
It's just, these are stubs nubs.
I actually asked for them for my deck. I asked stubs.
Yeah. He very graciously sent me some. And
cool. And
I actually like these so much that I ordered some more and like a lighter pink, because this is very this is a very good pink. This is very
like
good.
A sharp pink,
but it's very sharp, yes. And so I'd like something more along like this kind of pink.
Softer, yes. Okay,
that pink, yeah.
So, to go with the channel.
So I'm gonna get
if
more.
I go to the YouTube channel,
but they're actually
it's a nice
pretty
soft
good.
Pink everywhere. There we go.
Yeah. It's I think that aesthetic really fits me.
Yeah.
Or like what I'm trying to convey.
The Odin 2, like I keep wanting to buy it. But like at the moment,
I don't think you need
it's
it.
It's all my money in PayPal right now. That's gone. I'm done for the month. So I don't know.
I think if I couldn't buy it. So if I didn't have like an amazing sister, I wouldn't be able to have it. Yeah. But
it's so close to the Steam Deck in price that I wonder, you know, and it's quite limited in what you can play. I mean, obviously retro gaming, it's almost unlimited, but...
I think it's just for people who want a smaller device than the Steam Deck.
Yes.
And who don't... I don't know. I feel like if I didn't already have the Steam Deck, I wouldn't buy an Odin 2. I would buy one of the smaller, like... Windows handhelds, maybe. Windows.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm thinking Android.
Oh, yeah. But I don't really have... I only have the... I guess I do have a lot. I have the RP3 Plus, which I don't like. I have the...
You don't like the RP3 Plus?
No, I don't like it.
Wow.
I have it, though. My kid has it now, because I don't... I didn't enjoy it. And on paper, which is weird,
this
right? It's very surprising because on paper, you think that I would enjoy it. And I even met up with Russ in like the very beginning before I even made a YouTube thing. So I was like, Russ, can you please meet up with me so I can like fondle the RP3 Plus? Because I wanted to see what it felt like in my hands. And I think he also brought like the Miu Mini, which I love and I wish I had one.
Yes.
He has a very pretty, like transparent blue one. That's amazing.
The Miu Mini, not the Plus, the like original, the little one.
Yeah, mm. Yeah, the little one, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is perfect for me because I have very little hands. Mm. And yeah, I thought I would like it because it felt good to hold, like for mm-hmm. like that brief second. And yeah. It's a very quality device. I think it's just very nice. And it's mm-hmm. very, the profile is very sleek. And it fits very nicely everywhere. And so on paper, I felt like I should have liked it. So I bought one.
Okay.
But then when I started using it, I didn't like it. And I think
why,
mostly...
That's, what's your, why do you think?
It's because I don't like the triggers.
The triggers. Because they're not analog.
That important. I don't know. No, it's because they're very stiff.
Okay.
They're very stiff.
The 4 Pro has got these very soft triggers.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Very soft analog triggers.
I have not yet met a 4 Pro, but I would like to meet one eventually in person.
So all the retro handhelds guys are giving it a hard time.
White looks great. Oh, yeah, really?
Yes. And I keep wondering what I'm going to say in a video because I love it. Like, it's one of my favorite devices.
Really? I haven't watched any RP4 Pro or RP4 videos because I don't plan on getting one. Because now that I already have the RP2S, which I love. Like, I love that one.
Yes.
That's probably like in my top three.
Yeah, this made my best device of 2023. Oh, my camera's
It's so good. It's so good. Mm. And I have the really pretty DMG retro. Like
very nice
colorway, which I
Tech
love.
Tech Tube would be proud. Yeah. Very
yes.
cool.
This is, I mean, I think we have the same tastes when it comes to both like aesthetics for handhelds and for games, because he also really loves pixel art games. And I love pixel art games. Like if you give me a game with pixels, I'm just like already half gone. So, well,
like, I was playing Bubble Merger. Is it Bubble Merger on Pico 8 last night? Marble Merger. That's it.
Yeah.
Because I find it so relaxing, and it helps me with focus. So when I was editing the podcast episode for yesterday, I had Marble Merger on, and then I was just listening to me and Stubbs, and then I would just jump into the edit when I heard something. It actually helped me listen to the thing. So I hopped into bed last night. I'm like, cool, I'm going to play this while we watch Monk on Netflix. And my wife's why are the graphics so bad? I'm like,
what?
It's supposed to be like that.
I think that's also why I'm really into the smaller retro handhelds, because I don't need a powerful device. Like, I don't really play GameCube or like Dreamcast or like PS2. Like, I'm mostly interested in a retro device in playing retro, like really old, like the pixelated ones.
Olden day
the pixelated games. Yeah. Mm. So that's an advantage for me as a gamer, because I can stand to purchase like lower end devices. Mm. Like, I could happily play with a V90 or even an SF, like a Datafrog SF 2000. I could happily use those because I don't need. Yeah, I know that one's not. But you know what? It's so comfy. Like, it's not great. The screen is not great, and the OS.
Yeah,
the screen is not great. Do you have one?
I do, somewhere.
Do you have one? Yeah. I really like how it feels in the hands.
It's plugged into my TV because it's just such a fun device for the family to play on. So, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have the extra controller? I think that's so neat.
No. Mm. But that is what's cool about it.
Yeah. It's so neat because it's wireless. So it's just like a controller and you put batteries in it, and then it like wirelessly like signals, I guess, the SF2000.
Yeah.
And it'll just play. And you don't have to plug it. It's like Bluetooth without Bluetooth. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and it's as cheap as chips, as my friend used to say.
Yeah, so, right. Mm. Yeah, I think I got it for that, and like a controller was $20-something.
I bought it by accident on AliExpress. I was like,
by accident.
Oh, well.
Aww.
Yeah. You know,
sometimes that happens.
Yeah, but that was right in the beginning. You know when something's cheap when you accidentally buy it and you don't care. So
Yeah. I've bought worse things by accident. So, I mean, well done.
Yeah, I think you need to double down on the Odin too. And I think your channel will grow from it. Yeah, because someone was asking me.
That's what everyone says. But then like my Odin 2 videos have not been doing very well at all.
Let's have a look.
So,
yeah, that's interesting.
They've been doing like a lot worse than all my other videos.
Ooh, your Pico 8 video did very well. And your Mio Mini did very well.
I have a Pico 8 video. My RGB 30 video.
Sorry, I just saw Pico 8 on the screen.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the same thing.
Did so well. Okay, that's interesting. And then your Steam Deck video did well. Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? So I don't know. I've been a little bit bummed out about it. But you know what? It's fine because I can just make more videos. And if one doesn't do well or two doesn't do well, it's okay. Because they don't take that long to make. Like compared to like writing a book, they take very little time.
Exactly. And yeah, there's low commitment. And the thing is, you gave me the advice with my Steam Deck is you've kind of changed directions with those videos. It's slightly different to what you did before. So it might take a little while for the algorithm to pick up on that. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They are a little different. I did like an unboxing video that was very off the cuff. And I've never done that before. So I had to share that excitement with people.
Which is fun. And you for those videos, you got to accept it might not do that well. And like,
yeah.
But what you will notice is in the beginning stages, it is like that. But what I'm noticing now where I'm at is the algorithm has solidly picked up on what I do. And that's probably why the Steam Deck thing didn't do so well. But if I do a retro gaming device,
that makes sense.
Yes, and I will without fail get about 2,000 views per video. That's like my baseline right now, and that's really high for me. It wasn't so long ago.
That's really high. Period. That's amazing. Like I think the other day, my friend was like, "Crystal, even if you have like just." Like 500 people or 400 people watching your videos every time, that's still pretty great.
Yeah. So the point I'm trying to make is like, I think in the beginning, it is very like up and down. It's a roller coaster ride because like seeing your channel, it reminded me of what it was like. And I'm like, that's why when I saw that you're at 380 subs, I was like, oh, I remember the hard work, you know, because it's emotionally draining to get 4,000 views and then like 50 views. And then you think, okay, I'm doing something wrong, but you're not doing anything wrong. Yeah. Just keep making videos. As long as you learn from each one, I think that's the most important thing. I think you're going to,
and I think
you're
going to
grow quite quickly.
And it's really, I think it's just really fun to make them. So
yeah,
That's the good thing is that like, it doesn't feel like a chore, right? We're right now for me, it's still just a hobby, right? And so it's really important that I enjoy it. And it's just really nice. And I think that's part of the reason is that the community is so nice and welcoming. Mm.
Yes.
And like when I do get views and people comment, the comments are so nice and it feels like we're having a conversation where it's mostly just like us flailing about talking about how much we like a thing.
Yes.
And that's always
which
nice.
Is great. Yes, it's wonderful. So, and that's the thing, because I said to Russ in the very first episode I did with him, I said to him, I'd really like to get into Windows handhelds, not really knowing what I was talking about. And he's like, well, be careful what you wish for, because that crowd will like fry you for dinner. Like they are intense, you know, whereas the retro gaming crowd are more relaxed, calm, zen kind of crowd, you know.
I think it's because there's so much variety what we like what we do, because there are all these systems and they all play very differently. And so I feel like we're a lot more accepting. Like if you like retro games, you're a lot more accepting of like different types of gaming and different types of gamers. Because you've gone through that, you know, period where you just play a bunch of Tetris, but then also that period where you're trying to beat Mega Man 3 or something or Darkwing Duck.
Yeah. On that note, Did you know that that's my favorite game?
I did. I've been playing it ever since. All right. I've been trying to play it.
Mm.
Ever since I watched the podcast with you and Russ, because you guys were just hyping that game up so much, and actually,
well,
I had never
heard of it. Yeah.
Really? No, but didn't he? Are
no,
you
it's
sure?
Me and Tech Tweep. Me and Tech Tweep both love that game.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it was you two. My brain is just not there sometimes. But
sorry, Tech Tweep.
Yeah,
we
so I tried it.
A lot, yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, I know. Mm. I'm sure he's fine with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really beautiful, isn't it? It's like it's like a gorgeous game.
Yeah.
I feel like when I put it on, it almost doesn't feel comparable to the other NES games that I've played. Like it's very.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I'm a fan, but. Mm.
It feels more like an SNES game or like. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, it's got that like, there's like some depth to the pixel art. You don't get in a lot of NES games.
And all of that, there was such a depth to it.
Yeah, I know, but it's really good. And the music is really good too. Yeah.
Yes.
But I'm really bad at it. I keep falling. I keep on like forgetting
safe
that
states.
You can fall down things. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I should try
safe
that.
States.
Yeah. Yeah. So I haven't gotten very far, but it's a very enjoyable experience and it's just so cute. And I love like the whole like where you can swing on things and you can also like I love that the parts where you there's like an interlude and you can like shoot at things for points.
Oh yeah, where the eggs and fall down. Just, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so cute. Mm. It's so cute. I really enjoy it.
Oh cool. I'm glad you like it.
So, but yeah, I was determined to play that game because I was like, I really need to, you know, get to the core of Aiden Walls.
Appreciate this thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Ah, thanks. And, I feel validated.
And I felt like I would be able to really understand you if I played that game.
Yes, you probably do. Because it's like dorky and it's like got a bit of depth to it.
It's so
sounds
cute.
A lot like me.
Yeah.
So when I got given it when I was a kid, and that's obviously why it's just such a special game to me.
Yeah. But I mean, lucky you. Like,
yes.
I'm sure a lot of people
got.
Yeah, like I'm sure a lot of people got gifted really crappy games. And
they were such
bad
games.
And they just had to play those. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
there are some bad games on NES.
I mean,
I got given Top Gun, and I had such a great memory of this game. So. With retro gaming and emulation, I looked it up, got the ROM, started playing, and I was like, this is the worst game on the platform. How did I ever play this? It's terrible. It's just...
Because when you're a kid, anything is good. Any game.
Yeah. There's not even a soundtrack. It's just... That's it. It's awful. Like, I don't know how I ever liked that game.
That was a very convincing sound effect. Well done.
I'm very good. What's your favorite retro game? Or do you have a favorite?
My
or a few?
Tetris. Tetris. I'm very basic. Tetris, probably.
Very basic.
But like, I'm very basic. Oh, lately I've been playing a lot of Cat Rap, which I never played as a kid, but I love it.
I love that.
And I always have to start over because I always forget about save states, but I don't mind it. Like, it's just very contemplative, you know, like it's like a game where you're just chilling out, and I really enjoy that.
Yeah,
Picross, Mario's Picross. It's a Game Boy game.
Okay.
I think it was one of the Dusty Game Society games before I joined up, or before he started like reviewing them.
Yeah,
but it's so relaxing. It's a puzzle game.
Yeah,
like a puzzle. Reasoning, like deduction sort of game.
Okay, I'll have to look it up when I edit this. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And what was the Steam game you said? Terraria, hey?
Terraria. I love Terraria and Stardew Valley. Mm. I also love Dead Cells and Hades. So if you haven't tried those.
Yes. Russ recommended Hades today. Dead Cells I've been playing
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of his top games. And actually, RetroTikTok also recommended it. Yeah.
It's very good, and it's so addictive. But it's got a really good gameplay loop The thing I love about it is that it's one of those pick up and play games where it saves after you go through different rooms on a run, like on a rogue. It's like a roguelite. So you go through different rooms, and then after you're done with every room, it automatically saves. So,
oh, cool.
And every room takes like maybe like 30 seconds to like a minute. So you could literally pick it up and play for one or two rooms and then put it back down and go on with your day. So it's the perfect Steam Deck game, I think.
Yeah.
It's really well suited.
Which game were we talking about? Terraria?
Hades.
Okay.
Hades. Right. Dead Cells is like that too.
Yes.
I think.
You need to explain, because I've had Dead Cells on the Retroid Pocket, but the screen's very small for Dead Cells. Dead Cells was designed for a bigger screen.
Yeah. Are you having trouble with like seeing text? Because there's a setting that you...
No, I figured one out. It's just the gameplay of it all. Like, I can't get into... What is the thing that gets you hooked onto Dead Cells?
What's the thing that I get hooked on? It's the unlocking different things. I also just really like hack and slash things. I didn't think that I would, because I figured I wouldn't like anything with combat at all. Because I started as a cozy gamer playing like
as a Tetris
Animal Crossing.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
Tetris and Animal Crossing and like, so, but I really enjoy it. Like the hacking and slashing. I like being able to just like destroy things. And, but every time you die, you come back and you have unlocked more things to make your run stronger. So,
so
as you play more and more, you're able to get stronger and stronger. And then like just that progression of being able to level up every time.
I didn't know that.
It's great. Yeah. And that's how roguelikes work, I think, is that they reward you for dying, and I die a lot. So, so I enjoy games that reward me for dying.
Well, I started Dead Cells and I was like, I'm dying all the time. This game sucks.
No, so, you're supposed to die. Okay. So it's fine. Right. Yeah. Cool. So I mean, you want to get to at least like the part where you can like turn in your stuff for other things. But as you go through each run, you unlock different weapons that you can try, and then you get better starting weapons as you go on. And then eventually you just get really powerful. I'm not there yet with Dead Cells. I've only beaten like one mini boss, I think, but I still love playing it.
I always finish these episodes thinking I didn't get to know them enough. I want to talk some more.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we need to leave some mystery for the next one.
Oh, the next one.
Of course. Yeah. The next episode, you'll be famous.
God. I mean, let's wait for that to happen.
You see, it was strategic. I have to get in on the ground floor so that when you overtake me in subscribers, you know, I was like, listen,
I don't think that'll happen.
I put you on the podcast, you know.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for believing in me. Dear.
No, I like, that's why I say I honestly really thought you were far more ahead than you are, which that's a compliment. Like, that's saying, you know, I think you've got things together. Like, I think you've got your plan, and I think it's just a matter of time. I know that's, it doesn't help when you want to be over there, but you know, if you're anything like me, you're living in 2000 subscribers when you're here, but you know, you'll get there. And I'm excited to watch your growth, because I think it's going to happen quite quickly. Yeah. And thanks for coming on the show. Like, I think you,
thank you so much for having
such
me.
Like a heartwarming
really
person
nice
to speak to.
Talk.
I know you're on my show, but I felt so welcome being, interviewing you. So thanks.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot. And it was really nice. It's always nice to talk face to face to someone.
Yes.
And we don't get to do a lot of that being on online so much.
And being introverts. Like, I think we would rather just send a message than, you know, talk face to face. So this is a great way to force myself to get to know guys in the scene, and like I say, selfishly try and figure out what they're doing right on their channel and then copy them, you know. So I'm changing my theme to, actually, my theme is kind of pink. It's just a very, very bright, obnoxious pink.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yes.
I love it. And I love that, like, the yellow Game Boy. That's so nice. Mm.
That was totally just an AI thing. No, it was an AI thing.
Oh,
that
really?
I'm ashamed.
Wow.
I know someone was very upset on Discord, but anyway.
I mean, if you don't have the skills and you don't have the funds, AI is very useful. But I think nothing beats like having something tailor-made by a real human, because you get that interface. And that's so important, I think, when you're doing business with someone.
Yeah. I think my next step will be to revamp the channel and then get some creators to help me do that, because I think that'll be a fun experience and it'll help my channel a bit as well.
I just revamped my avatar for I just got a logo made,
and I'm
excited about it. No, I don't have it up yet, but I'm gonna probably post the avatar up. I'm gonna probably change my avatar on my social medias today after this.
Okay, cool. Oh, yeah, because you're morning, I'm night, so you've still got work to do. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're probably tired and need to sleep, get some rest right now.
I just had tea, so I'm kind of like buzzing now.
Oh no.
So yeah. I'm gonna
gotta go play
go,
more.
Go into the house.
Gotta go
kids
play
are sleeping,
more Dead Cells.
Like, yeah. Yes. Oh man. Maybe I should.
Homework.
I'm gonna put it on the 5.56. I'm gonna try it on the 5.56 now. I think it's gonna be fun.
Oh, I want the 5.56 so much. I don't need one because I have an Odin and a Steam Deck, but I want one because it looks so good. It looks like those handles.
Yes. You see, this is why I like the retro. So. I'm sorry, we're getting distracted again. I was trying to bring everything to a close. But
I'm sorry. Like,
it depends what you own. I think that is the most important factor when advising someone, because like you and I both own a Steam Deck.
Yeah.
So what you want next in an Android device is not necessarily the biggest and best. Like, and I know you got the Odin 2 because it's beautiful and wonderful and the best Android out there. But you kind of, like, that's why I'm stubbornly sticking to, because all the retro handouts guys and the crew, they all prefer the 5.56. But I just feel like this is pocketable and just handy to have around as a friend to my Steam Deck. So anyway.
They're going to be best buds.
Yes. Yeah. But the 5.56 is wonderful. It's that OLED screen is just fantastic. But you see, gamers are suckers for OLED screens. And I have a problem with that.
I don't think it makes that much of a difference, honestly, because I have the OLED Steam Deck and the LCD, and they both look equally good. I showed my kid was like, what's different about yours? And I showed him like the screen differences. I was like, oh, this one has like a different screen. And he's like, I think I like mine better.
this one is mildly
I think that might
better.
Yeah, this one is like very slightly better. But I mean, I don't think that OLED matters very much at this size, maybe. Like
side by side, it's a massive difference. But
You can't tell if you're just playing one.
Exactly. And I've got the etched glass one, which a lot of guys don't like, but I like it. When TechDweeb sold it to me, I was like, that's actually the one I want. I want the etched glass. And when I show it to people, the first thing they say is, wow, look at those graphics. The screen is amazing. That's the first thing they say. And, you know, it's the worst screen of the Steam Decks.
That's so funny. Yeah, I don't think it makes a difference unless you're comparing them side by side. They're all great screens. So. Mm.
But gamers are just
congratulations on your Steam Deck. I can't
thank
wait for
much.
More Steam Deck videos.
Yes, I'm going to do a whole video telling the story because it was a big drama. It was so frustrating. TechDweeb shipped it before Christmas.
No.
And I received it 2 weeks ago. A week ago.
Oh,
I received
goodness.
It a week ago.
That is
it
so stressful.
Stressful. Yeah. And expensive.
Yeah, can you imagine? Oh, you know what? I had to RMA my OLED. And
RMA,
and then they
that?
Shipped it out. That's it, my OLED came in and it was broken. Like it worked and then suddenly like the screen fritzed and it was very, very scary. Like it was like all pixelated and it made like a high pitched sound. And so I had to return it to them. And then they didn't. They sent it back and for some reason UPS didn't deliver it to me. They delivered it somewhere else. And so I had to, and I was freaking out because it's an OLED Steam Deck, right? Like it's an expensive device, and they delivered it to just some other random house. And so I had to call them, and then I had to call them, and they were like, "No, we delivered it to your door." I walked up the steps and delivered, put it right on your door, and I'm like, "My door doesn't have steps." I'm like, I know you didn't deliver it to my place because we don't have any steps going up my place.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's just like cold shivers down your spine.
Yeah. Oh, but then she went back because she knew exactly where she'd put it. And she did manage to give it to me. But
to
that was really,
it.
Really stressful. Yes. But
that is crazy.
The same thing is happening with like, I ordered like an Elgato face cam and it hasn't arrived. It says it's arrived, but it hasn't. So probably the same thing happened.
Something
again.
To do with your address, obviously. Wow.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Kind of like your situation.
No, yeah, but mine was a bit more sinister. I'll tell you the story. Tech2 sent it via Canada Post, which Canada Post has got a wonderful fast shipping service, and he sent it. And it was quite expensive. And I said to him, I'm worried they're going to send it to South African Post. And like I said, I've never been one to complain about South Africa Post, but recently I've realized, okay, it is complete garbage. And it arrived there and they just sent it back. Like,
what?
I just got a report, something about not illegal. They made it sound like we were breaking the law. Anyway, so they just sent it back to Canada. And then the next thing, TechDweeb got hold of me and saying, I have it again. What's going on? And then he was like, I feel bad sending it Canada Post, you know, like you did mention the South Africa Post thing. I was like, well, you know, it's not your fault. Anyway, so he paid for DHL, which is a fortune, and we DHL'd it. And then when it arrived, they were like, no, you need a permit. So that's why the South Africa Post, they were like, oh, it needs a permit. Let's just send it back. I mean, forget the fact that it crossed the Atlantic Ocean to get to South Africa. Like, anyway, so I had to get a permit.
Off you go. What?
Yeah, it's crazy.
No, that's crazy. I'm so sorry you had to go through that. That sounds so stressful and just But now you're going to love your Steam Deck even more because it took.
I really appreciate it.
It went on a journey. It went on like a little quest and some side quests to get to you.
Crossed the Atlantic Ocean twice. How weird.
Yeah.
And wasteful.
That's so fun.
Anyway.
That's so funny. Thank you for telling me that story. It's crazy. Oh my goodness. You should definitely do a video about that.
Yes.
To narrate the entire journey.
Yeah, with pictures and animations.
Yeah.
You have a very affirming energy about you. I like I say, I was interviewing you, but I just feel like uplifted, and so thanks. Oh, thanks.
You deserve to be uplifted. I think you're doing a really great job. And like just creating this platform for people to get to know each other in the community. Because it's not just you getting to know like us individually as people, but like, you know, your audience gets to know like us, and your audience gets to know each other like through the interactions in the comments. And so I think it's really valuable, and I'm really glad that we have someone doing it, being our retropist. Cool. In
Oh dear, it's catching on. Cool, Crystal. Thanks so much for being on the channel and being on the podcast. It's been wonderful talking to you and getting to know you a little bit. Well done on your channel. And I'm really excited to see where this thing goes.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on. I had a great time. You're so good to talk to you. I was so nervous, but you made everything fine.
Great. I'm glad. Thanks, eh? Cheers.